Take a trip once more into the mind of Minoru Kawasaki as the director attempts to capitalize on the release of Shin Godzilla by instead paying homage to other Showa-era films by Eiichiro Honda. We are drop-kicking our way through this wrestler-filled monster mash, but will it compete with the other kaiju parody and humor movies of the time or fail to resonate outside Japan? This is Kaiju vs. History, Kaiju Mono.
Kaiju versus History. This is your secret serum injecting mad scientist type Miles, and joining me is a colorful kaiju trying to protect its egg, Patrick. Patrick, how are you doing, Mama?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much. I'm going to put you in the headlock. I'm going to drop kick you. I'm going to suplex you, Miles.
It's all for naught, because all I need to do is give you the Phoenix Splash.
This might be the funniest kaiju movie we've had on the list so far. I think I laughed more at this film than any other. But intentionally laughed at jokes, not like laughed at how bad it was.
We'll see. I was a big Iron Man fan, but I've also, because of doing stuff on The More You Nerd, I have a lot of background with Ultraman. Mm-hmm. I know we did some Ultraman here, but I'm talking about like a lot of Ultraman. I've watched bits of like at least 15 different Ultraman seasons.
Ooh.
Maybe it's 10. But
well, you guys on The More You Nerd podcast did Ultra Manuary, is that right?
Or? Yeah, and we would sometimes do like three shows in a week where we watch two episodes of three different shows. So we can get more of a flavor for more stuff.
It's a lot of Ultraman.
But this movie, Kaiju Mono, 2016 tokusatsu kaiju comedy film, of course, directed, co-written, co-produced by our good bud Minoru Kawasaki.
Outer Man. We just talked about Outer Man, and yay, this one very I was fast on its heels. Great movie. We both gave it 8 out of 10.
Uh-huh. And one thing that I have always wanted from my kaiju movies is for the kaiju movies or the kaiju fights to look like wrestling matches. And boy, howdy, does this one deliver that. But also, it's something that, like, as special effects get better, that happens. Like, I got to see Godzilla give a suplex to Kong. It was amazing. And we'll talk about that down the road. But we have a handful of excellent wrestlers in Kota Ibushi and eventually Minoru Suzuki, but mostly Kota Ibushi. Kota Ibushi is best known for his tenure in New Japan Pro Wrestling, but he is currently in the American promotion All Elite Wrestling. I know this because this is the promotion that I follow, and now Patrick has gotten into. Ibushi hasn't been doing a ton of stuff. I think he's been hurt.
I was about to say, I don't think I've seen him wrestle for that promotion. But yeah, when I started looking in this movie, I think I just saw that he was a New Japan wrestler at the time. So how long has he been with AEW?
Since 2023, and he's, I think, kind of signed multiple places, or at least so with AEW, you can kind of work any of the indies, so long as you're not working for the other guys, which gives you kind of carte blanche with everyone else. So he does stuff with New Japan a lot, Noah, and DDT Wrestling, but he is currently signed in North America to All Elite Wrestling. Mm-hmm. And then same with Minoru Suzuki. I don't think he's signed with All Elite Wrestling, but he does work with them quite a bit.
Yeah, so he's a little bit older of a wrestler, and Ibushi is the main kind of aspect of the main character who is in this film, and he's the one that you see on the poster, I think, for the most part.
He's well known babyface and just all around. Like, I mean, he's a very, very popular wrestler in Japan, and I think it's perfect that they had him be the good guy and have Suzuki be kind of the evil one, because Suzuki's just got that look to him, you know, like he'll let his tongue hang out. He's got the crazy shaved head, and he's like, I love watching Suzuki wrestle, and they picked phenomenal talent to be in this one. But I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I feel like they either got some comedians or actual announcers from wrestling to do the commentary, because that was like one of my favorite parts of the entire movie.
It's great. Yeah. Once the kaiju start fighting, some people on the street just start commentating on it. And oh, man, they're just so funny in general.
Well, and there's a third wrestler. The Scorpion agent is Saka Akai, who I think like made one of her debuts with Hikaru Shida.
Yes.
Her first match was a team up with Hikaru Shida, whom we are both big fans of.
Yes, she is a mostly Japanese wrestler who works with
DDT, but often Tokyo Joshi.
Yes. Tokyo Joshi is not the New Japan Stardom one, but there are a lot of wrestling promotions in Japan. I went down.
Wrestling is huge in Japan.
Yes, which, you know, you think you would have more of a wrestling kind of focus in a kaiju movie before this. Obviously, we've talked about how suitmakers and actors inside the suits have taken wrestling moves from time to time, from everything from sumo to your more professional wrestling style. Obviously, they can't be like Godzilla can't be putting someone in like a leg lock
right
so much, but like, you know, some of the moves, like the jumping kicks and things, are definitely wrestler inspired. Do you want to get into talking about this movie a little more in depth?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty simple like kind of,
do you want to talk about the title?
Yeah,
you better key me in.
I'm so excited to talk about this movie with wrestlers in it that Patrick, what's in a title?
So this movie is a great example of the divide between the Japanese term and the Western term for giant monsters. The literal translation of this film in Japan from the Japanese title is giant monster mono, daikaiju mono. But even in the title screen for the version we have, it just says kaiju mono as the translation. So kaiju in Western audiences, daikaiju in Japanese audiences, because they have more of a differentiation between giant monster and monster, if that makes sense. We've talked about this several times on the podcast, but you might be interested to find out, Miles, that we've done about 150 kaiju movies in this podcast so far, and this is the first movie that has just the word kaiju in its title. Like I said, plenty of Japanese movies have daikaiju, but this is the only time that Western audiences have seen the word kaiju in the title of the film. And I
guess that makes sense. Yeah.
I don't know if it's I think some movies after this have kaiju in the title, but yeah, this is the first time, which is interesting. And I really thought it would have been done before in some form or fashion before now. But I guess not. Yeah, this movie came out in the U.S. in 2016, debuted at Fantasia IFF in Montreal in July of 2016, and made its way to Blu-ray release in September of 2018. And when I found it online, I was able to watch it on Amazon through High Dive. It was part of their subscription. And
I also watched it on High Dive.
One of very few live action films. I was a little, when we talked about, I don't think we recorded this, but when we were talking about doing this film, I was thinking about buying the Blu-ray of it, because I do own some other Minoru Kawasaki films.
Only $12 on Amazon.
Yeah. I think I do want to get it. I want to see what the special features are, but
I'm definitely going to get it.
This was a lot of fun, this movie, and pretty simple kind of plot as well. You know, it's not like a crazy out there. I feel like
Summit
is very weird, and Outer Man is a little inside baseball for Ultraman, but it's pretty classic kaiju film.
That's also probably why I lean stronger with Outer Man's, because it's inside baseball for that. But at the same time, you're right. This one is a lot more straightforward than his films usually are. And I think that contributes to the film's success.
Yes. And the basic plot of the film is a giant kaiju appears, a monster named Mono, right? I think that's the only thing they refer to it in the film. And it has both like an ancient kind of presence in lore like Godzilla. And in order to stop its rampage, a mad scientist, I think it's the only way, or a very involved scientist,
Professor Saigo,
played by Aru Manatsu, who likes to dress up like Sailor Moon style, which is it's pretty funny because it just looks like a very veteran old man actor who they're
right
making seem pretty silly, but he's a very silly character. He has a serum, the Setup X cell division serum, which I love that they call it Setup X. Like, there's a lot of breaking of the fourth wall of this film that I think a better translation for it would have been like the MacGuffin X or something, I think, for
English audiences. But I also love that he does a little like Henshin pose every time he injects Nita with it.
Yeah, and it is a growth serum, basically, turned someone into a wrestler kaiju. We get a pretty blatant callback to Big Man Japan in the fact that he also develops super spandex underwear for the wrestler to wear, which becomes like a major plot point, which is pretty funny.
And it's still kind of also an Ultraman thing, because that is, you know, it does a little transformation thing and then, you know, grows, and that even the transformation sequence looks very Ultraman. So there's still that kind of referencing happen. And so he first turns into Kota Ibushi, who just whoops up on the monster. And it's so fun. at first, you feel like, you know, it might have been his first day during that first little bout, because like he seemed unsure how to handle the kaiju suit.
Him punching and kicking the head, which is like, well, above the pseudomator, the actor's actual head.
It just makes it look
so rubbery.
I feel like they were trying to be like kind of softer with it at the beginning, just because they didn't want to wreck the one suit they had.
The suit actor is Hiroyuki Taniguchi, which, if this is the same suit actor, was also a Japanese football player.
Oh, cool.
So perhaps a athletic folk that could keep up. I don't know if he has an IMDb, so I'm not sure if I can, like, it might just be someone else named Hiroyuki Taniguchi. But
I also love that both Hurricane Ryu and Ben Furuya are members of the Defense Ministry. Ben Hurricane Ryu, as we mentioned, is a longtime suit actor for both Kaiju and Super Sentai. And Ben Furuya was the original Ultraman.
Yeah, they're almost blinking you miss them in some parts, but
yes, I think because I saw Hurricane Ryu in person recently. I clocked him because I was I seen you.
I don't recognize Ben Furuya very often unless he's striking the Ultraman pose. I'm like, oh, it's Ultraman,
which he often does.
Yeah, but say even if he's not playing Ultraman in the movie, he's been in a few of these kind of comedic films. He was not in Outer Man, right?
Which is weird. Movie
he should have been in, but he is in this one. He
should have been in that movie. Like, I mean, maybe we'll find out, like, he played, like, you know, something. No, Kaiju Mono and Earth Defense Widow, but he's not in Outer Man, and he's in Monster X, but he's
so weird.
He's not in Outer Man. It's so weird.
Maybe there's some legal reasons or something, like he couldn't have been in the Ultraman.
Parody is one thing, but you can't have the actual Ultraman play your Outer Man.
I mentioned this last week with Colossal, but this film, having come out less than 10 years ago, the website is still up for Kaiju Mono, which is great, because for a lot of Kawasaki's films, there is not a lot of information online for the production or for the advertisements for the film outside of trailers and posters. There are a ton of advertisement bits for this movie if you want to go back and explore. They build this as the director Payne, quote, homage to classic monster movies such as Frankenstein versus the Subterranean Monster. They also make reference, I think, Minoru Kawasaki in interviews to War of the Gargantuas. So these are two films from the Showa era directed by Ishiro Honda that are not Godzilla movies, but both of them have humanoid, much more human monsters than any of the Godzilla movies, with both Frankenstein and the Gargantuas. Is that what they're called in the movie? Yeah. Or the Gargantuas. Yeah. The Gargantuan Brothers movie, especially, being extremely wrestling kind of influenced. I can understand why this movie took a lot of inspiration from that. Sanda and Gaira were the two kaiju in that film. Yeah, and then of course there's a lot of influence by Ultraman on this film. And he was, yeah, just inspired to take the director a few of his loves, one of them being kaiju movies. Another, he's obviously a huge wrestling fan, and kind of smash them together in, I think, a way that really does honor both. But also, I think, in maybe his funniest movie. I don't know if this is his best movie, because we really did like Outer Man. But Outer Man, this movie made me laugh so often. And mostly it was really dunking on American audiences and kaiju fans, like, separately, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if I like this more than Outer Man. But there are aspects of it that I do really like. I do think this movie's funny. I don't know if it's as funny to me as Outer Man was. The wrestling stuff obviously goes a very long way with me. And Kota Ibushi is just the perfect person to play it. Because even when he's walking around in real life, he just kind of has that aloof look to him, which is perfect for his character. Yeah. And so, because one of the things is that after he first transforms and fends off Mono, when he shrinks down, he is still in the Kota Ibushi form.
Yes, daughter is like, this is okay, this is fine.
Yes. So that's funny. The thing is, like, the professor's daughter is obsessed with wrestlers, and he has had a secret crush on her that's apparently not so secret. And so the professor's like, well, this is good for you because she likes muscular guys. And she's, of course, super thrilled about this development.
She took one of her father's Muscle Men magazines and hid under her bed. It's like, what?
Yeah. Such a hilarious touch.
He's like, look, she likes this. This is what she wants you to look like.
I think for me, I think when it's not the kaiju stuff, I'm kind of hit or miss. Like, there are some things that I do find very, very funny. I mean, like the first time he turns into Ibushi and is fighting the monster, when two guys just kind of get up and start commenting, I lost it. I thought that was so freaking funny.
Yeah, it was very good.
the spy subplot, while funny when the punchline kind of happens, is kind of stupid, and in a way that I don't think is very fulfilling.
Well, it is definitely a fun stinger that you think the spy character is going for this giant growth serum, you know?
Yeah,
but they're actually like, no. We want to shop these
briefs to Americans for their because they expand butts. In size, and I'm like, that is very funny.
Oh my gosh, I laughed very hard at that.
I did too. I thought that was hilarious.
Plot wise, yeah, it does take up a little bit of the screen time, but there were, I think, there were a couple of jokes that made me laugh super hard. One was the character that was introduced. I think he's talking to Kota Ibushi, and he introduces himself as a cameo that Western audiences wouldn't understand. He's like, I'm basically the Carson Daly of Japan. Oh my god, I laughed so much. And then they did it again at they did that same joke at the end of the movie with the introduction of Sandoyo Mushi, who was in the original Ultraman show. He played Daisuke in the original Ultraman show.
Oh, cool.
And I was Googling him, like, as soon as he came on screen, I was like, who's this? He's obviously like a veteran actor. And someone introduced him as like, oh, this is another cameo that we're gonna have to explain the importance of to Western audiences. I was like, all right, well, I Googled it, so you don't have to, but I just didn't recognize him.
No, it's just kind of fun, kind of taking the piss. Yeah. And I love that.
There's so much. There's a lot of dunking on Americans, but also making fun of kaiju fans.
I think part of that was because they knew they were getting Western distribution for this
one. Yeah, well, you know,
because like this is one of his few movies that you can actually buy from like Amazon very easily. And I mean, it's got an actual release here.
He kind of did the same thing with Attack the G8 because he figured, you know, multiple countries would be kind of interested. And so was depicting what was trying to take the piss out, as you said, of multiple countries that were at that summit that year. But this movie, yeah, especially feels like a joke for both kaiju fans and Japanese audiences and Western audiences at the same time.
Yeah, no, I mean, people can have a good rib time, and I,
oh, I loved it. it's the first time that kind of digging teeth in, but like I said, it worked in a lot of the jokes.
I also love during the Everyone Loves Nita stage that when he's doing the bar show, there is an Outer Man poster in the background.
That's so funny because that movie was probably like just coming out as like or had just come out when they were doing production on this.
I clocked that. I was like, wait a minute, was that an Outer Man? But yes, it was. But I had to like actually move it because Hideye doesn't have the 10-second, you know, rewind, which is stupid. That's why I'm not keeping that service.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually very much have liked Hideye in the past, but yeah, it's very limited. I will say I do wish there was at least one more kind of moment for Ibushi in, I want to say in ring, but it's actually so funny when he, you know, turns into the giant. Like typically you'll have like a city stuff set up. This one's clearly set up to be kind of a mat to fight on, and it's very, very funny to me. I thought that was so, so good.
Great, great set for those kaiju fights. They filmed this, I think, in between maybe filming some other films. I want to say at a Toho related studio. I had it in my notes at one point, but like just this set like became available, and that's like one of the reasons this movie kind of went forward into production. And the set looks great. I like Kaiju Mono. I think it's a pretty cool design. It definitely looks a little bit more, I think it was said to be like a Chinese monster.
Yes, I think they mentioned that. And
it's kind of got Chinese dragon.
It looks more of a Showa suit too, as opposed to like one of the hyper detailed ones of the Heisei or Millennium era.
It has elements definitely of Ultraman style design for its monsters, and I mean you can pick through there's like five different colors on it, and I feel like each one is probably like an element that they took from another monster. The face is definitely, it looks like a repurposed Godzilla kind of face, and then they just added a bunch of stuff to it, which is something that they actually did in Ultraman suit production. They just like bastardized Godzilla film suits, which is crazy, but legal, I guess. Or Toho was like, oh, we're not gonna mess with Super.
Well, because at the time, Tsuburaya was like, I think, still doing stuff with them. So,
well, no, they just supposedly, if you believe it, they just didn't care about television the same way they did about movies. Like, they're
that's probably
whatever,
also true at the time.
Whatever you want
about television,
do whatever you want on TV. Tsuburaya, adorable.
And then obviously, I really loved the Minoru Suzuki. You know, being the evil gene that comes out. Great, great final fight between Mono and Nita. And I mean, it's just so funny. And I thought it would be even funnier if like he had to stay as Suzuki for a little bit.
He came back
as opposed to,
like that.
Because like Suzuki is, I mean, he's been wrestling since the 80s. He's an older wrestler and he still currently wrestles. And I mean, is really, really good. He, like I said, he's done a lot of stuff with AEW as well. I'm saying I'm a lot today. I really loved all of the suit stuff. The wrestling stuff was very good. I mean, like I said, the commentary stuff just every single time cracked me up. And I love the open. I love the kind of ghost show open. It's almost kind of making fun of American ghost shows and American found footage movies. And I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, when they're, and we didn't even talk about Professor Nindo, who is a denim kimono, not kimono.
Kimono.
He wears denim in the film, and several characters make light of it. But he's an actor, Shinzo Hata, who is your mythical connection kind of to Mono in this film. But he comes out and is like, yes, this beast, this monster in the woods will feast on virgins. And they're all like, oh, well, we don't have to worry about that. I think another one of my favorite parts is when the kaiju protesters come out and they're protesting the military trying to take down Kaiju Mono, and all the kaiju fans and fanboys and fangirls that are there are pretty funny.
I actually wish there was like more wrestling kind of personalities or even appearances. Like, it would have been funny if like at some point in time, like Mono turned into a wrestler as well, and the guy like Tomohiro Ishii, which would have been fantastic.
I mean, I know it would hurt kind of like the main plot of this movie, but I wish this just existed in a universe where there were other kaiju and then we could have had a montage fight or like more like a rumble fight of Mono versus like, you know, just a few different suits. I understand they're very expensive for production purposes, but just reuse Ultraman.
Yeah.
Just go find
Ultraman. I would have loved to have seen like Outer Man get the One Winged Angel from Kenny Omega, who would have been in New Japan at the time. So like that would have been great.
Yeah, I was about to say just reuse the two awesome suits that you made for Outer Man, and no one cares. They just want to see these fun fights. And people did want to see these fun fights. In August of 2016, they announced that Giant Monster Mono versus Kendo Kashin would be appearing at a wrestling event in Tokyo for All Japan Pro Wrestling.
That's awesome.
They canceled that one, but he did show up ringside kind of antagonizing wrestlers in the ring, which there's photos of it online. I don't know if there's many videos of this happening, but
I've been trying for years. I think now that I've gotten Patrick into wrestling a little bit, we might be watching Big Kaiju Battle.
But yeah, so there's obviously some cross promotion that they were trying to do with this film. For the most part, this movie came about because of the announcement of Shin Godzilla, which it had been a long time since Japan had produced a Godzilla film, right? Like, when was the previous one before Shin Godzilla? 2004. So yeah, we're talking 12 years. So putting this movie out really right before Shin Godzilla, spoiler warning for a future episode, is, you know, keeping it in the zeitgeist, and it's just good timing. It's not obviously trying to steal thunder, but it is trying to capitalize on kind of the energy of, well, both legendaries, Godzilla coming out 2 years prior, and this other new Japanese film. So yeah, and I think it probably did that better than Outer Man kind of coming around the 50th anniversary of Ultraman, and then Attack the G8 Summit coming out the same time the actual G8 Summit was happening in Japan, which is just so funny to me. Yeah, Miles, we've talked a lot about the wrestling. We've talked about the suits, the comedy of this film. Do you want to get to rating this bad boy?
Yes. Yeah, let's go ahead.
I'm interested. What do you think was your personal enjoyment? Where would you rate that?
Man, I'm so torn 10. Because like when this movie soars, it soars. Like there are parts where I kind of agree with you. Parts of it are some of the funniest stuff that Kawasaki's done. The wrestling versus kaiju stuff is tremendous. And there's so much of this movie that kind of also like just spins its wheels a little bit. And honestly, they probably could have cut 10 minutes from this movie or added 10 minutes of like cooler kaiju stuff. So I'm a little torn because I want to give this movie a high score, but I don't, in terms of what I enjoyed, the things that I enjoyed a lot. And the things that I wasn't as enthusiastic about, I thought was just fair. So I don't think I can go higher than an 8 for me right now. I really, really love a lot. Like so much of this movie is close to 10s in fun. And then it's offset by things that just are the opposite. And I think that's the big problem with this movie is like it's some of the best work he's ever done, but it's not consistent throughout. Some of it just kind of, you know, just doesn't really deliver for me in the same way that, I mean, I gave Outer Man, I think, an 8 as well for different reasons, but it definitely tells me that like he's getting stronger in his delivery of stuff. And I feel like I feel like he's got a movie out there, if he's not made it yet, that like is veering closer to that nines and 10 territory for me in terms of enjoyment. But I gotta be fair. And as much as I like, half this movie is a 10 and half of it's like a 7 to me. So I'm going to give it an 8.
I understand. Yeah, he has done some stuff since, and we'll talk about another one of those movies in the future. But I said last time we looked at his film Outer Man, that was my favorite from the director, and I had a hard time believing Kaiju Mono could really top it. I think I'm sticking with that. I gave Outer Man a 9 out of 10 for personal enjoyment. I am going to go with an 8 out of 10 for this movie. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it maybe just slightly less. I think I laughed more at this movie, but
there are funnier there when the jokes land, they land better than they have before.
Yeah, but that's so
but
hard.
They don't land very often.
I think I would probably watch this movie again before Outer Man, but it's hard to say because there's just elements of each that make me like that film.
This one works because you get some wrestling involved. So, I mean, like it makes it really easy to rewatch.
I mean, to go on to the technical aspect, I think almost everything technically in this film is a slight improvement over Outer Man. The budget for this movie looked like it was better used. I think the actors are probably a little bit better. The dubbing is hilarious and better. The look of the kaiju, I enjoy. Well, they're both good in both films.
No, Sylvie looked great.
The film stock that they used, this actually looks like a professional, you know, film production in a lot of ways.
Yes, and which both helps and sort of hurts it too.
Yeah,
well, the parts, better a film looks, the more certain things can poke out a little bit.
Like I said, Outer Man was in a lower, like more television style television definition, yes, but it was felt like a choice almost.
Oh yeah, because Ultraman is a television star.
But yeah, yeah. I feel like this has some great classic pseudimation techniques, some throwbacks to the Ultraman television universe, but looked movie kind of quality. Yeah, I think this is the director kind of firing on just about all cylinders technically. I'm giving this an 8 out of 10 for the technical as well. What about you, Miles?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same spot where you were. Like, I was initially going to kind of go a little bit lower, but, you know, when this movie delivers, it delivers in space. And you're right, the acting across the board is solid. For me, the only thing that's extremely uneven is the script. I do think that, like I said, this movie does spin its wheels and sometimes kind of meanders, and some plot threads, while the final joke is very funny, for most of the movie, it kind of feels like it's pulling it back. That said, I think the finished product is excellent. The kaiju suit is well designed. It's a well built suit. It can withstand some actual hits because I've seen these guys wrestle. They're doing their moves, especially Suzuki's like double drop kick. I was like, what is happening right now? They probably had like one take of that. But yeah, I mean, that part is so much fun. And that's the concept. Like, I wanted to see wrestlers versus kaiju. That's what this is promising. And it does deliver. Wish it delivered more, but I'm still, I'm a very healthy 8 out of 10. I think this movie is a lot of fun. I think Kawasaki has really hit his creative groove in a way that, you know, I didn't see for him prior to Outer Man.
Yeah, yeah. And I enjoy how similar his movies are, but also very different, you know? And we're just talking about his kaiju movies, and I haven't scratched the surface of his film oeuvre outside of that, but
I know he has like, I think what's supposed to be a straight adaptation of an old tokusatsu show.
Well, he has a couple films that are, his last movie, Super Legend God Hikosa is, you know, not really kaiju. It is tokusatsu / kind of sentai related, but he's had a couple wrestling movies before. 2004 he did The Calamari Wrestler,
which I had tried to push for us to get, but it wasn't really a kaiju movie.
No, unfortunately, even though the suit basically makes a comeback in Monster Seafood Wars, a very similar looking kaiju-esque suit. Kabuto O Beetle is kind of like a henshin / wrestler theme movie.
Yeah, I think I feel like it's probably supposed to be taking the piss of Kamen Rider because of the bug motif that Kamen Rider uses. Planet Prince is, I think, supposed to be straight up a reboot of the Planet Prince franchise. I don't think it's supposed to be played for goofs. So I actually do want to see that one.
I've got a trip to Japan planned, and I just need to find copies of his films, even if they're not translated. I just want to watch some of them, like Executive Koala and Crab Goalkeeper. Just the titles make me laugh. So I'm sorry. What were you giving this movie for its technical score?
Eight.
Also an eight. It might be eights down the road here, because for its importance as a kaiju film, I'm also giving it an eight. I feel like this is maybe the most important comedic kaiju content we've viewed so far. I do think this is Kawasaki's best kind of general film. You know, it is very low barrier for entry compared to Outer Man, which I think you do require a little bit of knowledge of Ultraman to get into. But yeah, the kaiju.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Kaiju comedy films is a pretty small list of our sub, you know, our greater list of kaiju films. Like, we've had maybe 10 in the history of kaiju films, with some more to come. But this film, I think, of the Japanese comedies, probably has the best chance with Western audiences. This translation, as kind of ridiculous as it is it's a great window into the director's love of the genre, love of wrestling, and maybe love of kaiju fandom in general, both poking fun at himself and people that go to watch these movies in theaters. So yeah, I'm giving another 8 out of 10. What about you, Miles?
Yeah, I mean, we are in sync this week. I'm also giving it 8 out of 10 for most of the same reasons. I mean, obviously for me, like, as a wrestling fan, like, I know who these wrestlers are, and so it's even more exciting for me. But not just that, I think as a kaiju comedy, I still think I like Outer Man a little bit more. But I do agree that this is probably the most rewatchable because of the fun action and goofiness of it. This is one that you can, I mean, it's a very easy watch. It might be the easiest of his to watch. I mean, like you had said, Outer Man's a little more, you know, inside baseball. Ultraman kind of taking a swing at that and the kind of comic convention, you know, types. But because I'm an Ultraman fan and a comic convention type, I was like, oh yeah, this is great. I do feel like that, especially if you're looking for something a little lighthearted to kind of go with your, like, a kaiju mix, I think this is a perfect film to throw on. I'm like, okay, let's have a little fun. Like, and not let's, like, watch an older movie and make fun of it. Let's actually have fun with a kaiju movie that kind of knows what it is, what their kind of limitations are, and exploits all of those things. And even though not everything lands 100% of the time in this movie, which is really its biggest failing, it's so much fun. And I think for the genre as a whole, to have a movie that is able to be both funny and kind of, you know, rib at the subgenre, but also do it in a loving way, while also being an extremely entertaining, action-packed movie, like, that's all you need. Like, this is a movie that I am definitely going to buy. The Blu-ray from Sentai Filmworks, who does a lot of great localization for anime. This is one that it's probably the most accessible of his stuff. I think SRS has the Monster Food Wars, but
yep, it's good.
This is, yeah, top notch. I wish it was a complete home run, but yeah, this movie, I think every fan should seek out, because it's so much fun.
And it's surprising, because, like we said, we both of us enjoyed Outer Man slightly more personally, but we are both rating this movie just slightly above Outer Man as far as, you know, Minoru Kawasaki's kaiju films go. But for the most part, we've enjoyed all three of his that were on the list. You were a little less positive about Monster X Strikes Back.
But I absolutely was less positive about that movie.
I feel like you can watch all three of these back to back and have a pretty good time with them, which I did not think was going to be the case when I maybe previewed some of these back in the day. But yeah, there we go. Kaiju Mono getting an 8 out of 10. Another great kaiju movie in this season, Miles. I'm surprised. It's our, well, I'm just doing a quick count here, our fifth 8 out of 10 as far as Japanese movies go.
Oh, that's right, because you didn't have the correct opinion about Jelly Eyes.
No, Jellyfish Eyes got an 8 out of 10 as a podcast.
I know, because you didn't have the correct opinion about Jellyfish Eyes.
Well, you didn't have the correct opinion about Love and Peace, which also got an 8.
I have completely forgotten about that movie.
I love it so much.
That's how little light I thought of that.
There's so few movies that nearly made me cry. Kaiju
movie. Boredom?
No, it's so fun. It's so weird. Outer Man, ton of fun. I guess 4 Japanese films I've gotten an 8 out of 10 or higher, but still, it's been good. I'm very interested to see how scoring shakes out this season as far as the 2010s decade of kaiju films. But yeah, that's going to do us. Where can folks find us if they want to chat us online, Miles, about kaiju?
You can email us at kaijuversushistory@gmail.com. You can find us on Blue Sky at kaijuversushistory. I'm not giving the other one any love anymore. You can visit our website, kaijuversushistory.com. Rate, review our show, comment, share with friends, and let us know what you think. Check our Letterboxd account, Kaiju vs. History, to see all our reviews and watch our list of films. You can also go to CosmicCrit.com, the Starfinder actual play podcast that Patrick and I are both part of, and there is a link to the Discord there. If you click that link, you can enter our Discord and the Kaiju vs. History channel, where you can talk to Patrick and I in real time while we're bored at work. Patrick, what are we doing next week?
All right, well, thanks, Miles. Thank you, listeners. We are going to catch you next time when we dive back into the twisted world of Hideaki Anno. That's right. We are not, though, for the first time talking about an Evangelion object, as he's going to start his first in the Shin series, the new series of films. But will this legendary anime director have something new to say with the big G now in his toy box? Or will this film live up to the new American legacy of Legendaries 2014 MonsterVerse? Find out along with us as we look at next time, History versus Shin Godzilla.
Bomb, 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 bomb.
As bomb, bomb, bomb as it gets. Bomb, 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 bomb.